Hi, my name is Lanice Adams, and I'm an actress, writer, producer, and reality TV personality. I'm also an author of a children's book called Your Special Light, which helps you teach your child self-love. And I'm excited to have a conversation with Pearl today.
Hey, everybody, it's Pearl Sorenzo with Women's Successful Living and your podcast called Conversations with Pearl. We have fun conversations with other women and a few men pop in sometimes. We talk about self-care, self-love, and all the things around what we could do to say yes to ourselves and no to others. And today, I am really excited because I had been on another podcast and got to interview our guest that's coming on Conversations with Pearl today, and we had fun catching up beforehand. So Lanice Adams is an actress, writer, producer, and reality TV personality. She recently received her life coach certification from Loyola Marymount University and is traveling around the country to speak to high school students on the importance of self-love, and our kids need this. She also wrote a children's book titled Your Special Light, which is a book designed for children that are just learning to read to also learn about how we are all individually special. So Lanice, welcome to Conversations with Pearl. So excited to have you.
Thank you, Pearl. I'm excited to be here again. I loved our conversation a few years ago that we did about self-love, and I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Yes. So tell everybody a little bit, let's go back a little bit. We gave your intro and everything, but tell everybody a little bit about your, like, give us an idea of like what it was like growing up for you and what led you to do what you're doing today.
Sure. Well, you know what? I was born and raised in LA, and I have actually always loved entertainment. I've always loved bright lights. I just always kind of had a wonder. And that's sort of what led me to start doing plays when I was younger and taking theater and dance classes in college. And I came back home one summer from college, although I was studying computer science. I was really interested in theater, and a casting director walked up to me, and that's kind of how I got started in the entertainment business. I started auditioning, and the next thing I know, I'm on The Bachelor, and that was quite an experience. I was only 23 at the time I did the very first Bachelor, and so I've just been seeking actually to learn more about self-love after my experience on The Bachelor, because I ended up going into a depression after the show and having really bad anxiety. And it took about a year for me to work through that and find out exactly what happened there. Why did that happen? And I realized I did not have self-love, that I was always looking outside of myself for validation, and I didn't realize it. It was like I put my happiness in the hands of my friends or in the hands of my family or in the hands of my boyfriend or whomever I respected. And when I sort of lost myself, and when people were kind of saying negative things online, I lost my sense of self-worth, and I had to find that again. And that's how I sort of started studying self-love, reading self-help books, and sort of became, I think, an expert at sharing that wisdom. And that's why I love doing that. So I love acting, but my purpose is trying to help others just find their own self-love.
So everybody, just everybody knows, if you see me looking down, I'm taking notes because I just love like to take little nuggets that you share. And I remember you when I can't believe The Bachelor was so long ago. Like that was, it's been around forever, it feels like.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's been a long time.
And I remember, so for me, The Bachelor, what was special for me with The Bachelor was I would watch it with my mother-in-law. So when she was alive, she would come down to Florida from Buffalo, New York and spend the winters with us. And that was a show she liked. We're going to watch this. I'm like, what are we watching this silly show for? I didn't understand, you know? So it was always something fun. But one of the things you said was exactly what I used to, you know, maybe call it a mom, another female, but I used to think too about Wow. When they leave this show, like, is there support for them outside about what they've just gone through? I mean, you're locked up with other women. You have no touch with the outside world. I'm sure there's a lot of cattiness going on with, you know, the other girls and such. And you know, this, like, and it goes along with what you said, like that validation of something from somebody else. So it's like, you're throwing these women into this role of wanting validation from this man, right? Or the men wanting validations now that they do the female version too. But it's like so important to understand that our validation is more than coming from somebody else. We have to love ourselves first. I love that I'm sorry you had to go through that journey. And at the same time, you know, you're doing exactly what I coach women on, and I work with a nonprofit. I do coaching, and I tell them even there, we all have a story, and we have to, you know, go through our story. We have to go through those things that, you know, are traumatic for us or changing our mental fitness. And once we come through, it's so important to find a way to share that story forward, to pay that story forward. And like you said, you had to find that self-love for yourself outside of validations from others. You know,
that's very important. And I don't know if a lot of people are tracking on that. I know I surely wasn't tracking on it. I didn't recognize that that's what I was doing. And when I didn't have the approval from people around me for different reasons after the show, then I just didn't know who I was anymore. And it was depressing. And, you know, I'm grateful to have come out of that. And I was thinking about this, actually, I love to go hiking. I was thinking about this on my hike the other day, that rejection can be like a knife, right? Mm-hmm. And you can use that to either carve yourself into a better person, or you can let that knife pierce your heart. You know, right. We all are going to get rejection, but let that knife chisel you, make you better. So that's kind of what happened with me. It's like I went through this terrible time and it made me a better person. So yes, I'm grateful for it. Although at the time it was not fun.
Yeah. And that's so true. I'm glad you said that. You know, when we're going through that, we're going through something, you know, traumatic like that. It's definitely not fun. I mean, you know, 18 months ago, I would have never thought sitting at home, you know, having a butt dial would look back as be a blessing from my son that he butt dialed mm-hmm. my husband. And unfortunately he was out and he'd been drinking and, you know, mm-hmm. he told us he was in an Uber, but he was not in an Uber and he was in my vehicle. And unfortunately he made the decision to drink and drive and he lost his life, you know, and
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you so much. And so that trauma, like you go through that and you're like, you know, we have to, and so if you're listening, it's allow the feelings from that trauma, like you said, allow it to chisel you, allow it to,
right.
You know, when you're in the middle of it, like, I know you would agree, Liz, when you're in the middle of it, you're like, all the things like, why me? What, you know, you have all these doubts, these questions. And if you question your faith, if you have a faith, all these things. And if you can just know that there are waves that have to come and that there's while you're in the middle of it, you think, oh, and I know if you're listening to me and you're in the middle of something right now, you're thinking we're full baloney, that there's nothing on the other side, but there truly is. There is hope. There's hope on the other side, right?
Absolutely. And you make a good point there. When you're going through it, you definitely don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, mm-hmm. I was in bed for a year, you know, just puttering around the house, and really because I had to figure out how I got there, because it's like, you know, your life sometimes, you feel that you've got it all together. On the outside, it looks like you've got it together. It's like you're on TV, you're, you know, you're dating these wonderful people. You feels like you've got it all together. But if you're not built on solid ground, anything can knock you down. And so I had to figure out, how did I get here? And I ended up building a foundation that was more solid. But it took a year. It took a year to work through that, but I wanted to be the type of person where I couldn't be so easily knocked down because life is always going to be throwing challenges at you. And if you allow yourself to be knocked down by every challenge, then it's going to be hard for you to enjoy your life. You got to take those challenges and figure out how to work through them and just believe that, you know, you can see yourself through the other side. It just will take a lot of work.
That's such a, and then I love that I'm going to share my, so if you're listening, you're going to hear the story again, but you remind me of the story that I share all the time about the mountain, right? Like we have these goals and we have this life we're living and, you know, we're going to go up this mountain and, you know, we don't have to hike up the mountain really fast. Like go up the mountain and stop at the scenic route, bring a picnic lunch with you and sort of just sit down and be like, you know, this is what's worked for me so far. These are the challenges I've gone through. This is what I've learned from it. And take what you want to carry forward with you on the rest of the hike, but leave the rest, drop the rest in the litter box. It's there at the challenge. Don't leave your litter behind, like drop in a litter box and then go up to the top of the mountain. And when you get up there, you don't have to just fly right down the mountain like Jack and Jill. You can, again, sit and have a nice, you know, pretty enjoy the scenic view that's there, the success that you've had. Recognize those challenges that knocked you down. You got back up. You power through it, right? And then the same thing happens down the hill. When you come back down, it doesn't mean that, you know, people think, I got all the way up, I made my goal, but then I failed coming down. No, you don't have to fail coming down. You, again, can take what's working, recognize that those challenges are going to come up and you're going to take those lessons. Maybe you need a mentor. You're going to grab a coach like either Lanice or myself, and you're going to ask for help. And then you continue down that mountain. Because when you can do that, that's one of the things for me, Lanice, that in 2015, I had done a 6-week identity and destiny course. And at the end of 6 weeks, we had to give our I am statement. And my friend with my I am statement, she's like, I still hear all the titles you wear, Pearl. I still hear you're a wife. I still hear a mom. I still hear all these titles. I don't see Pearl. And that's why I was like, oh my God, she's right. I was still recognizing everything but me. And when I did the work, I realized I've just been a people pleaser all my life and I don't want to do that anymore, you know? So when I started on that journey of becoming overcoming people pleasing. I tell everybody, I'm an overcoming people pleasing addict. That's my addiction, right? If you tell me to help put your socks away, I'm like, let's go. I'll hop on a plane, even come help you do it, right? But the thing was, is once I found not to do that, that's why I came up with what we call the Shiro method. I found that I was stronger in the word no, because I knew if I was saying no to you, I was saying yes to me. And as I did that, I became happier. And then that happiness allowed me to be empowered to do things that maybe I was afraid to do, like going and speaking on stages. You know, I'd step onto that stage. And then as that happened, like I started surrounding myself with the people that I knew I needed to be around to help me be that radiant self I am, to start glowing up in my life. And then as that happened, I truly became that original self that I believe I was brought into this world to be, right? So Matthew saw me find that Shiro, right? And I remember the day before he passed, we were throwing water bottles in the garage. He was helping my husband do some painting. It was hot outside. And he's like, Mom, I just love that this free spirit is still around for you now. And I just love that you found it. So like you were saying, you know, the first year I would say was really about the shock of everything, right? The shock of the trauma and living in that trauma. And sort of like you were saying, I wrote down like how I got there. Like, how was I here? You know, what's happening? You know, we talked all the time about taking Ubers, you know, and I had to realize it wasn't my choice. It was his choice he made. Right. And then on top of that, we were dealing with rumors that were out there. Like you were talking about on social media, the rumors are on social media about what.
And that can be painful. Rumors can be painful because you want to scream your truth, but you know, sometimes people don't want to believe it, or you can't scream into everybody, and that's really hard.
Yeah. And so finally I was like, you know, at this last, like was a year ago this past July, it's sort of, I feel like I've come into this acceptance, and I started looking outside about what is it that I want with my life. You know, I've come in through this trauma for whatever reason, you know, God's brought us through this. And so I decided that, you know, Matt saw me live this lifestyle when he was here. Why would I live it any differently? It is different than before. Mm-hmm. And we also have another son. We have Nate. You know, I want to be here for him, who's getting married in October now. So, you know, great things can happen. But when you're going through the trauma, like trying to look outside of it, I love that you said that, it can be hard work, but we have to do the work. Because like you said, if we keep letting everything knock us down, and I remember walking up my steps a short, probably about 4 or 5 months after Matt passed. And I remember saying to myself, and this sounds really weird when you hear this, you guys, but I remember saying to myself, in some ways, I'm glad it was me and not so-and-so, because I know if it was that person, they would not get up.
We couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I commend you for the ability to just grow, like endure the pain and realize though that life does continue, and you know, to be here for yourself and the people who are still here, you've got to try to find a way to continue on and to not always be, there's always going to be some sadness there, right, but to still try to find joy in the life that you have. I think that's really important, because some people, when they experience tragedy, they allow it to take their life from them. They're walking around, but they're no longer living. And it's really sad to see. I've seen that. But I also, my faith helps me know, because I've dealt with loss, not in that sense, but just loss of love, you know, and the part of your heart is missing, whether you lost a family member or a relationship. But you just got to figure out how to keep going and to know that, you know, God is still there. God is still present, you know, and he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. And you can help teach. How can I use this as a teachable moment? We have to try to look at things that way. So I commend you for being able to do that. It takes a strong person to be able to do that.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I, you know, I know that there's other people I talk to and everything that it, you know, they're like, how can you do it? And I'm like, I don't know how I do it. It's just who I am, and it's just how I have to be. And you know, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And at the same time, yeah, my friends could be like, well, if she stays in bed all day long, she can. But for me, it's not me. And if you're listening and that's where you are, it's okay. It's your journey. It's okay to, you know, we have to go through our grief process the way we see that we have to go through it. And I remember, I like, if I'm one of the first things we did as a family, the three of us, my husband and my other son, Nate, and myself, is we made a commitment that we were not going to hide our emotions. Like, don't not cry because you're worried how it's going to affect so-and-so, right?
I love that.
Yeah. And as family came too, we told them the same thing, because we're like, tears means that's bringing you joy. Like, we know that the tears coming out is you're having a memory, Matthew. We want to hear that. And so I remember I was in the grocery store one time, and I was waiting at the deli to get some, pick up a sub or something. And I just had a memory of Matthew, and I just started crying. And I remember the guy, the young man, like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just having a moment, you know? So,
but,
you know, so things like that. And the other thing that I love, like with the self-love, is like, you know, when that time frame comes up for us, so Matthew was born in July and he passed in July. So it's a bittersweet, you know, two things to do at the same month. And so we made a commitment that how can we take care of our emotion while we still remember Matthew? So we now, every July, I go to the local grocery store, which is Publix here. And I'm like, who is getting a birthday cake for a little boy? And I pay for that cake. So it's like a way, and I write the mom a card. I write the mom a card, or whoever's buying a cake, I give a card, and I do balloons and everything.
I just,
for me, like, we're talking about self-love and how we can take care of ourselves. That for me allows us to remember Matthew in a beautiful way, but also remember, you know, takes care of myself and my, you know, my self-care during that month. So yeah.
I love that. You know, I love that you have found a way to pour into yourself, to make yourself stronger. Like, you know, I think it's wonderful. Like for me, I love to go hiking, or I love to journal. I found ways to give myself self-love, self-care. And so you buying the cake for a young boy having a birthday, you found that that gives you self-care. I think it's important for us to find out what helps fill our cup, because right. It's different for different people, but you definitely want to make sure that you're pouring into those things that give you good feelings, because life is going to be challenging and some negative and positive. And you want to make sure you're doing your best to give yourself that positive love. So I love that you're doing that.
Thank you. And I'm glad you brought that up. So I would love for you, what are some of the, so for those that are listening to you and I talk, they're like, they're probably going, oh, they've got this down. No, we had to start somewhere like you are. But what would you say some of the top three things that you did that to get you through starting on that
depression and right. Yeah, I mean, you said a couple things that really hit the nail on the head for me. You're saying, you know, some people may be in bed right now dealing with grief. I understand that, because as I mentioned, I was in bed for about a year. I mean, thankfully I was young and my parents were still able to cover all of my expenses while I was able to sort of work through this depression that I had gone through. But I started off by reading self-help books. I loved going to the bookstore and going to the self-help section and finding a book on something that I felt I needed to work on, whether it was learning how to say no, whether it was, you know, just all of these self-help books and little maxims and wisdom about life. I had to learn how to approach life differently. That helped me. And exercise, they say, is, you know, it's an antidepressant. It really is. Yesterday, I went for a hike. If I find myself feeling anxious or sad, for me, going for a hike really helps. And journaling. Those things help me work through. Those were the basics that helped me get through.
I love it.
Uh-huh. And you know what? Was something that you mentioned, the people pleasing, you had to stop people pleasing. That's what I had to do. I had to stop people pleasing, because we think when we are pleasing others that is good for us. Like, oh yeah, we're making them happy. And we think that is pouring into ourselves. But what you realize is people pleasing is not pouring into yourself at all. So I had to stop people pleasing and learn how to say no.
Yeah. And that's hard, because for people, that could be hard for people. So what were some of the things you did, Lenise, to change that?
To change my people pleasing? Well, and it actually ties back into the book, Your Special Light. I had to recognize that I am special too. It's like I always looked at the people that I admired and thought how special they were, but I had to give myself that same love. I had to realize that just like they have a bright light, I have a bright light. And I had to really, really start thinking about myself in terms of, you know, the things I love about myself, and not allowing people to just walk all over me. And what's interesting is the people I've had people in my life for years who knew me as a people pleaser. But once I got this self-love, those relationships tend to fall off, because now I'm saying what I really feel. And I'm not just going to go along to get along. And sometimes those people run for the hills. But I had to realize that I have to take care of me first.
I love that. You guys, write that down. This is a writer downer. Go along to get along. Like, I love that. That's so important to people that understand you go along to get along. You know, we have to stop that. And saying no is so, so hard. I had to take a rock, and I had to take and say no to something three different times a day by moving this rock. So if I didn't move this rock three times a day before I went to bed, I had to figure out three things I need to go say no to. It was that meant I had to read an email and tell somebody no. I had to call somebody and tell them I can't do that event or whatever that was, because I knew I couldn't show up 100% the way I wanted to show up. So that's,
I love that.
Yeah. So that's,
I love that. And if someone really respects you and cares about you, they should be okay with respecting your boundaries. I mean, you're a good person, so you're not going to be out here, you know, acting all like a witch. No, you're just saying no because maybe this doesn't feel right for you or doesn't feel comfortable for you. And if someone loves and respects you, then that should be okay.
Yes. So it's, and here's the thing, I had, talk about relationships. So you talk about the people that, you know, when we used to be people pleaser, and I was actually talking with a client this morning, about the fact that she's in a relationship and she knows who her partner is. And this old partner keeps showing up in her life and making, you know, her feel less than, you know, has that perception outside what a great person he is, but inside heckle and jide, right? And so I just said, you know who your person is. You've got the strength to tell this person no. You've got the strength to do all the things you need to do to ensure, even though this person might change their phone number around or whatever and call, if you don't know the number, then you just need to say, I'm not going to answer the phone and they can leave a message. Right. And so I was very adamant about setting those boundaries. But the thing is, let's talk for a second, is setting boundaries around difficult family relationships. Like my son was born of our heart. We adopted him at a month old. He was mixed race. And my dad was, when we did our list before we committed to adopting Matthew, we went through and said, who in our family circle and our friend circle might no longer be there if we go this route, right?
Yeah.
My dad never showed up in that circle. When my son became a teenager and started, you know, being able to express his thoughts and feelings, my dad turned racist towards him. And I was the epitome of a daddy's girl. So when I found out what he had done through his ex-wife, his second wife, I literally wrote, I was like, okay, God, remember sitting in her driveway for almost 2 hours asking, praying to God, what do I do? What do I do? Wow. And it came to me, like I wrote an obituary to him being my father. He's still physically here, but no longer has the honor of being my dad. Right. So that for me, that people pleaser, before I'd done that work, I would have been like, how can I fix this? How do I do, you know, how can I change him or whatever? And then just recently it came down with my mom. I had a situation where she was going to move in with us and because we thought her health was declining. And since then we found out that we feel there's some challenges there that she's had to make herself appear to be sick. And we also had a relative that was helping to cause some things that could harm my family, my livelihood, and my personal self. So I was like, I had the conversation, you know, around, is this acceptable to you? You find that this is okay for this person to do that. And because she was okay with it, I said, sorry, I got to put a boundary around you too. Right. So the interesting thing, and I talk about this on my social media and everything, is I had people say to me, and the people pleaser me before would have answered and been like trying to explain everything. And so they're like, how can you, like, I call it divorcing my parents, right? How can you divorce your parents? And I was like, well, let me ask you this. If I was in a relationship or I had a friendship and they treated me XYZ way, would you want me to stay with that person? They're like, well, absolutely not. How's it any different? You know, one of the things I remember years ago when my parents divorced after 43 years of marriage, I was 44, 45 when they divorced. 42. I went to my pastor and I'm like, what do I do? Because I feel like I'm torn. And the best advice he gave me, and this is what I take forward with everything in that relationship, was, we don't pick our parents. Only God picks our parents in my faith. And so, but this is our game of life. So if you're listening, this is your game of life. You get to choose who gets to play in the game with you and who doesn't. And if they don't play by your rules, then they can sit in the bench, just like in football and baseball, any other sport. If you can't perform, you have to sit in the bench. And if you want to let them back in, you can. And I've tried a couple of times, but they still don't play the rules right. So for my self-care and my self-love, I have to put that lock on the gate. So it's hard, right? So what, have you had those situations, Lenise, where you had difficult, that you had to do that around difficult relationships?
Yes. Setting up boundaries, I think with family, after you go through a difficult experience and you come out and you learn self-love and self-care, and now you have boundaries and now you won't allow people to speak to you any sort of way or to treat you any sort of way, then yeah, I found that some family relationships, I had to set up boundaries. I had to say, actually, my mom, I love my mom. We had we were having a discussion a couple weeks ago, and one thing that bothers me sometimes is I will say something about, and then my mom will immediately say, like, oh, that didn't happen. Oh, girl, you're tripping, or blah, blah, blah. And I had to say, Mom, I had to say, no, this is what I'm telling you what happened. Stop saying to me that it didn't happen. I need you to hear me. Hear me. If in your head you have your ideas or whatever, that's fine. But if I'm telling you something, please don't tell me that I'm imagining things. That's not right. And I had to tell that to my mom. And with my stepfather, we just have to try to teach him how to just, you know, be less toxic sometimes. And so, yeah, I've had to stand up for myself and put up boundaries, because I know what it looks like for me to not have those boundaries. When I went through that depression, I actually was hospitalized, you know, when I went through all of that, I know what that looks like. I know what it looks like for me to have no boundaries. So it's easier for me to have boundaries now, because I never want to go back to that place, you know? So yes, I speak up for myself, because who else will?
Right. And that's the thing. This is what I love to coach on too, is that we're with ourselves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are our best friend. We are our worst enemy. We have to stick up for ourselves. We have to do what's best for us. And the thing is like, if you keep people pleasing, you're not going to and have no boundaries, you're not going to show up for those that you love. You're not going to show up for your career, whatever that profession is for you. You're not going to be there. And then the other thing is, and I always stump everybody when I get to this question, I'm like, okay, you want to, and usually somebody will fight, well, what if I tell them no? They're going to think, you know, they're going to think I'm selfish. No, that's on them. That's not on you. You don't have to take that energy on. And so I usually end up and I'll say, if you're really struggling with this, let me ask you one question. If you're not here tomorrow, and all anybody can say at your eulogy is what they saw you do for yourself, what are they going to say? Are they going to say they saw you go help Mary Jane do her socks? Are they going to say you were always at these events helping fundraising? Or are they going to say they saw you sitting in a front porch swing, having some time journaling, going for a hike, going to visit a friend because you just wanted to get away? Are they going to say those things? And if you don't like the answers, even more reason why you have to say yes to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually stumps them. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. You've got to say yes to yourself. And that's key. That's key. And that's, you know, that's about having that self-love. That's about respecting yourself. Having what I was telling my younger cousin this, because it's something that I think younger women really have trouble with, because we're kind of raised to be people pleasers, I feel. But what I told her was that, you know, people will actually respect you more when you do have boundaries, because if you let people run all over you, you think that you're doing the right thing, but they actually don't really respect you. They will respect you more, and they'll just see you in a different light if you have boundaries. So although it seems it's hard to change if you're a people pleaser, sometimes it's hard to make that change. But just know that ultimately it's the best thing to do.
It's another one of those things, you guys, if you're listening, that you just have to go through the pain to come out the other side to have those boundaries you need for yourself. So let's talk about your book. Some of the stuff we're talking about is in your book, right? Tell us why the book? What was on your heart that you felt like this was a project you needed to do?
Well, I love this little book called Your Special Light. I actually wrote it during COVID. And what it was, you know, when I was doing some self-reflection, asking myself how I got to that depression and addiction, the really bad year that I had, asking myself how I got there, I realized I did not have self-love and that my parents never had a conversation with me about how I am special. They just weren't tracking on it, you know? So I decided to write a little children's book that a parent can read with their child. And in the book, the child learns how each individual person is special in their own way, you know? And so now that opens up the discussion for you to have with the child, because they all should know, we all should know that we're all special. Even if you, let's say you don't have an arm, or, you know, you can be handicapped, you can be whatever it is, you still have a specialness inside of you. So that was the goal of the book. And my nephews loved it because it helped them realize how special they were. And that makes me happy. I just feel like, you know, I went through what I went through, so I want to help someone else possibly avoid going through that trauma. And that's why I wrote the book.
I love that. You reminded me of my childhood memory. So growing up, I was short. My maiden name was Knapp. And my first name was Pearl. And so I used to be called, I used to get teased so much. I would come home.
No.
I would tell my mom, I want to change my name, right? I would be called Pearl Bailey, Mini Pearl, Pearl Go Take a Nap. Like whenever Pearl Harbor came around, I was like, oh my gosh, I just was like, it's so in tears.
Kids,
right?
Can be cruel.
Yeah. So having something like what you're saying is so, so important. And it's funny because now, like, I remember telling my mom, I want to change my name. And now I'm like, everything's branded around my name now, right? I'm like, I love my name. I've grown into knowing that my name is a beautiful thing. And it was chosen for a reason. It's three generations old. It's, you know, I was chosen with this name.
Beautiful name. It's a beautiful name. But yeah, speaking to that, when I was younger, I never felt beautiful. It was like, I was really intelligent too. I mean, I always made straight A's. I was a chess champion. There was all these great qualities that I had, but I didn't recognize myself as being great at all, you know, and that kind of led to me allowing people to just talk to me like crap and treat me like crap. And I became a people pleaser just because I didn't recognize that I'm special, and we all are. And so that, you know, that was the reason why I wanted to make sure that the kids know that, because it was tough going to school and thinking that person's really cool and that person's really cool. Everyone else seemed pretty cool except for me, you know, and that's just because my parents, we never sat down and had that conversation. Had we done that, I think that I would have been a lot stronger. So you want to have that conversation with your kids, you know?
Yeah. I think they need to get your book and have the conversation with the kids, right?
Yes. It's on Amazon, sure. Your Special Life. Definitely.
Yeah. I interviewed somebody before, and she talked about, so she's wheelchair bound and she calls it differently abled. And I was like, right. Oh my gosh, that's so important for our kids to hear that it's, we're all differently made and differently special, you know, so we're differently abled to do different things. You know, I just love that and having conversations like what you said and is in the book is so important, because like you said, even now, I mean, there's so much more on our kids. And I was thinking earlier, like the people pleasing thing, I feel like some of it's very generational, because, you know, my granny, she stayed home while my grandpa was off at war and working or whatever. And then my mom, you know, my dad was in Vietnam War, so he did three tours of the war. So my mom worked full time because the money wasn't, you know, there was not great money as a service person. And I remember always having to take care of my brother and sister, you know, in elementary school. And I mean, today's day and age, it would be, you know, child abuse, but that's what they did back then. The oldest stayed and watched. And so I remember, like, when I look back and I've done the work, I realized my people pleasing started because it was generational. That's what we're supposed to do, you know, and to realize that we don't have to do that. That's one of the reasons when when my boys, when they would get in trouble or something, you know, or something would happen, I would say something. It doesn't, not even necessarily when they were in trouble, but they might have done something. I responded a certain way. They would go, "You sound like grandma," or "You sound like papa." And I was like, I don't want to sound, you know, my, don't get me wrong. My parents, they knew what they knew. They did the best they could do. Right. But I was like, yes. Oh, so we came up with this thing called let's have a code word. So, because you know, when my age, you didn't talk. The adult said, you're not an adult. Go over in the corner. Right.
Right. So which I don't like that. Yeah, I don't think that's healthy.
No. And I think our kids need to have, especially up until that 7 years of old, they need to know that their voice is important. So I started saying, okay, let's create a word. So if instead of telling me I sound like grandma or papa, how about we create a word? So that's my trigger to go, oh, let's have a, so we created, we're big Bills fans. So we created Buffalo, right? So they'd say Buffalo. I was like, okay. So that was my trigger to stop, let them, you know, have a conversation. So what about what I just said bothered you? Like, how did that feel for you? And we would have a conversation. And then like, I talk about this a lot on here and when I coach. And then I also created space as when they were younger, because I saw this from a friend of mine when I lived in Virginia. He would have breakfast with each of his kids separately. He had two kids, I think. And he said he started them when they were babies, even though they couldn't talk. He would bring one out, have a, you know, at breakfast, whatever, Google with them. And then as they got older, I copied what he did, create a safe space at a table where it's not home. You go out and you say to your kids, listen, this is a place that you can tell me anything you want to tell me, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever you need to tell me. You're not going to get any trouble if you commit. Hopefully he's not committed a crime, because we'll have to talk about that differently. But tell me what you need to tell me. And it allows conversation. And then at the same time, what I like, going back to what we're talking about today, it also allows you to give yourself self-care and give yourself grace to say, I need to get this off my chest. I need to talk to somebody about it. The cool thing that happened out of that is as my boys became young adults, if my older son, Matt, would call him like, hey, mama, can we go for sushi? I knew he wanted to talk about something. My younger one, it was movies. Hey, can we go catch a movie? I knew there was conversation. So I started teaching them. So if you're listening, like, create that space for your young kids, because it can start now. It can start, you know, as a one-year-old even. You can start allowing them to have their voice. Because I think generationally, we do create this long-term trauma that's all we know.
Exactly. I think that telling a child to just be seen and not heard sets them up to go out into the adult world and not be prepared to feel that their voice should be heard. So I think you should encourage your child to say what they feel in a respectful way, and you're helping them become better adults, you know, and making that space to have those conversations, because a child, we don't know what we don't know. So you as the parent, that's the reason why I wanted to do conversational starter books, because a child doesn't realize that they don't have self-love. They don't know why they're feeling this way. You as the adult, because you've been through so many things, you can impart that wisdom down to them. So creating a space to open up a conversation, you can teach your child so many things, and it prepares them to be better when they go out into the world. They're so much better prepared. And that's what it's about.
I love that you remind everybody about that, because that truly is what it's about, is helping them set them up for the future and become prepared for, so that we, like we talked at the beginning of the show. So when challenges come their way, they're like, I know how to get through this. I've got the tools to get through that. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Started when they're young. Yeah. You know, I think that's one thing that parents aren't always tracking on. They're like, okay, I've got a roof over their head. I've given them food to eat. They're fine. It's like, no, while you have them in your home is the perfect time to start putting those pearls of wisdom into their head, so that when they do go to school, or when they fall in love and their heart gets broken, or, you know, a bad friend or someone is, you know, treating them wrong, they know, because you've had a conversation with them, how to look at it and how to move forward.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you. I think it's just so important. So, and if you haven't started, it's not too late to start now. It doesn't matter how old they are. It's
never too late.
That's for sure. So what else do you have on the horizon? Are there any more books coming up? Where can people find you on out in the world?
Well, as you mentioned, I did recently get my life coach certification from Loyola Marymount University. I'm really excited about that. And I did that mainly because, you know, I've had all these experiences and I grew and I was giving this self-care advice and self-love advice, but I wanted to have more structure behind it. So that's why I got my certification. And now I'm going out and I'm talking to kids, and I really want to open up the space to talk to more high schoolers so that they can learn to respect their voices and not be so, swayed by peer pressure. So besides my acting, you know, I'm auditioning, I'm acting, and when I can, I'm going to speak to kids to teach them how to respect their own voices. And so no other books just yet, but when I do, I love the idea of the conversational starter book. So I want to do some more in that series of opening up conversations with your children. But right now, my acting has me pretty busy. I have to prepare for an audition today and the speaking.
That's awesome. So we'll keep you in good prayers for the audition today. That's for sure. Absolutely. And I love all what you're doing. And it's so important. Like, you're the example of paying forward our message and doing it the right way. And it's so important. So if you're listening to us, just keep that in mind. You're not alone. There's all kinds of resources there that you can get help with as well. And so, Lanice, how does somebody reach out to you to get in touch with you?
Right. My website, laniceadams.com. You can find out all kinds of stuff about me. And if you're interested in some life coaching, you can book me right there on my website. I do give 1-hour sessions and, you know, just helping people figure out how to maybe get over grief or get over trauma or figuring out how they can just be happier. I call myself your happiness life coach because it's my goal to help you be happy. You know, I find that we go along in life sometimes just living, but I like to be happy. So that's my goal. And you can find me at laniceadams.com.
Awesome. We're going to put everything in the show notes too, to link up and everything with you as well. So tell me, so Lanice, let's go ahead. So I've already forewarned Lanice, you guys, that we are going to do these questions. So she knows about our betterquestionsbetterlife.com. 2 of my friends create these cards. I get no kickback on it. So if you want to go to betterquestionsbetterlife.com, you can get these cards. There's over 70 cards here of just things you can meditate on. If you're not sure how to journal, how you can start journaling, just journal on the questions you pull, or just something to start your day off. So I'm going to shuffle the cards. And Lanice is going to want to stop, and we're going to have her answer the card. So here we go.
Stop.
All right. So, your card says, who am I? Who am I?
Who am I? So I answer that question for myself. Who am I? Well, I am, I think, a kind person. I am thoughtful and loving. I am living with intention in my life. I am intelligent. I am fun. And I guess that's it.
those are great. So those who don't know, I was on another podcast and Lanice and I interviewed her before. I just love talking to her before. This has been even much more fun to say, because these are subjects that you and I really, really like to talk about. So let me ask you a question. So living with intention, I wrote that down. What I'm going to ask you this question. I think this is such a fun question because we still got some time left. If you could only pick 3 things right now, if you top of your head, that bring you joy, what are 3 things in your life that bring you joy, and why do they bring you joy?
Well, hiking, as we mentioned in our earlier talk, I love to go hiking. I put on my music and I have my favorite songs on a playlist and I walk. And so your body's moving. To me, it feels kind of like meditation in a way. And I love how I feel afterwards. So it's good for my body. So hiking really makes me happy. Being around people that I love really makes me happy, whether it's family or good friends. I love love. Like, I found that out about myself. It's, you know, I like to see other people happy. I like to feel that connection. When I know someone really cares for me and they know I really care for them, I love to be around people that I love. That's one of my favorite things. And my cat, I love my little cat, Shelly. She is just, you know, I rescued her. She was 2 months old, very rambunctious. They had named her Shelly at the shelter, and I was thinking of changing her name, but she acts like a Shelly, which is just kind of, you know, whatever that means for a cat to be named Shelly. She really gives me a run for my money. And since I don't have children, she keeps me on my toes.
I love it. Talk about being happy, you guys. So if you're listening to us, like, your face just lit up when you talk about your cat. That was so cool. You had a smile all the way through, but then when you talk about the cat, it's like those of us with kids, your face just like lit up. So that is so, so cool. All right. So now we talk about three things that bring you joy, because I'm going to build on the intention that you brought up on your card. So we create to-do lists. You know, I got to go to the store. I got to go an audition. I got to do all these things I have to do, right? We create our to-do list. What we don't think about creating the not to-do list, those things that need to be on our list that keep us from our joy. So what are a couple of things that you could put on your not to-do list that's going to keep you enjoying your joy?
Wow, that's a great question. And I don't know that I've heard that before, a not to-do list, but I think it's very important. I guess maybe just tying that into the conversation that we were having. One thing that I do not do is allow someone to pressure me into putting down my boundaries. And I have a really great example. An old friend of mine invited me to join her to an event. And I said, oh, okay, can you send me some info on whose event I'm going to? And she said, well, no, I mean, just the fact that you'll be with me, that should be information enough. And I said, no, if I'm going into someone's home or something, I would like, and she got offended and she said, well, never mind. But I wasn't going to backtrack and say, oh, well, okay, never mind. I'll go wherever you're taking me because you're offended. But no, I stood up for myself and I have my boundaries. So that's one thing that I'm really in 2024 working on, just keeping my boundaries up. That would be one thing, not letting someone push my boundaries down. I'd have to think about that question. That's a really great question. And I need to make a list.
Yeah, I love that. So those were listening. That was easy. So when you work with me, I make you do 10 items minimum. And so it's sometimes it can take you about 2 weeks to really think about it. Cause the first like three might come pretty quickly, but then the other ones are like, oh, what's up? Am I, you know, the joy list, especially, like, you would think people wouldn't struggle with our joy. But because there's so much going on in our life that we don't recognize things that bring us joy. And it can be like, it can be your kids, it can be your cat, but why, you know, like, why, you know, for me, like, my one of course, my kids were on my list. They weren't the top priority. And people might be like, why aren't they top priority? I'm like, cause they bring me joy every day. They're there every day, but I really want to know deep down, like, what brings me joy. And when I got to my kids, I'm like, the reason why it brings me joy is, like, Matthew was so athletic. I wasn't an athlete in school. So just watching him on there and be like, oh man, I wish I would have been all that, you know, that athletic. And he was so charismatic outside, but then so shy on other ways. It was so cool to watch how he worked that. And then Nate, I mean, Nate's just a smart man. He's such a smart little old soul, and he can build computers. He's just like, you could have conversations with him about history, and he comes a whole different perspective. It's just really cool to, and especially because it goes against what his generation is talks about today. Like, he has real conversations about stuff. So those are why I enjoy it. But for me, on my not-to-do list, it was like you said, stop letting people break my boundaries, you know, the negative self-talk, stop telling myself I'm not worthy or letting others do that for me. And I remember when I was going through just the most recent thing with my mom, she kept making comments about, oh, you're just like your dad. And you're just like basically she was gaslighting me. And I had to take a step back because at first I was offended that she was saying about my dad. Because I'm like, I'm not racist. But then I was like, you know what? I'm not like my dad in that sense, but I am like my dad in that I'm not going to allow this behavior. You know, I'm going to allow it. But then I looked at her and I'm like, this is what I coach on. And this is how far I've come to not allow you to put that energy on me, right? I'm not going to take responsibilities for somebody else's behavior because they want me to take on their, you know, reasoning. And so having boundaries, like you said, that's exactly my not to do list. Don't let anybody break my boundaries. It's so, so important.
Yes. And I think it's really important. I mean, when I say living with intention, finding the things that make me happy was after I went through that dark period. It was thankfully 20 years ago. After I went through that, I made it a point to find things that make me happy, that make me smile, because I spent the first half of my life doing everything for everyone else. And it's like, you know what? I want to be happy, because when I ended up in the hospital, because I had this breakdown, what I realized in that moment was I was all alone. None of the people that I put ahead of me, that I was people pleasing, none of those people were there. When I was in the hospital, it was just me and God. And when I had that experience, when I came out of that, I realized I got to put me first, because I'm all I got. So that's important to find your joy. You know, you gotta make sure you do that.
And what a great way to end the show is not let other people, you know, like you said, when you're there, you're people pleasing for everybody else. When it's time to show up, those who show up are going to be the real people you need to be helping out, because the other ones don't show up for you when you really need it, but you're always there. So I love you said that. And I love that you said, find your joy. So I'm going to close this on that. Lenise, I want to thank you so much for coming. And I want
thank
to
thank you, Pearl.
Absolutely. And I want to remind all our listeners, if you're listening to us, we're on Apple, Spotify, all that stuff. Share this conversation with your friends. If you're on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. But leave us a comment about what you like about the episode. What were some of your nuggets you took away? And I want to remind you that as you come into this world, you are this oyster that's got a lot of work to be done to get it open. But as you open it up, you will find your inner pearl to greatness. And I hope you go out today and realize that you are an amazing Shiro. Have a great day.
I love that.